came in. Last time I spoke, apparently I told a story about poop. And somebody asked me on my way in, are you going to tell another poop story? And so I know I can't disappoint you. I'm going to get started with one, but there's a ton of spiritual content in this poop story. So you have to look for it, okay? So I worked at Camp Kanakuk. How many of you have heard of Kanakuk? Yes? All right. At this camp, we had elementary age kids. And some of the kids that were coming to our camp, they were coming for 2 weeks at a time. And the youngest ones were 7 years old. And some of them have never been away for 2 weeks ever. Some of them have never been away for like a day from their parents. So we're trained as counselors that if you have a kid come to camp and he wets the bed, you're trained exactly what to do. You wash the sheets, you put new sheets on before all the other kids get up in the morning. Nobody knows that one of your campers has wet the bed. Well, my friend Eric was a Cabin One counselor and had a little boy in his cabin named Teddy. And Teddy had wet the bed early on in the week. And the thing that we're not trained for is if somebody does more than wet the bed. Okay, so Teddy wets the bed early on in the week, and Eric sleeps underneath Teddy. Okay, so Teddy's in the top bunk, Eric's in the bottom bunk. And Eric wakes up one morning, it's like 2, 3 in the morning, and he smells this awful stench. I'm going to set this down for just 1 second. Don't worry, I'll get it back. So Eric smells this awful stench, and there's a laundry bag hanging down. It's Teddy's laundry bag that he's tied up to the top, and it's hanging down right by Eric's face. And Eric grabs his flashlight and shines it on this laundry bag, and there are little drops of poop hanging out of the bag. And Eric is like, what in the world? And he, as he wakes up more, he hears Teddy kind of rolling around in the bed, and Eric jumps out of bed, and he shines his flashlight on Teddy, and he said, Teddy, did you have an accident? And Teddy said, yeah, I don't feel very good. And as Eric opens the sleeping bag and shines the flashlight, there is poop everywhere. Teddy is covered in poop. Covered in poop. And so Eric carefully gets him out of the bed, puts him on the floor, and they're headed to the bathroom to clean him up. And as they're headed to the bathroom, there are already ahead of them little poop prints on the floor as they're walking. And so Eric figures out pretty quickly, Teddy has already tried once to clean himself up, but he was doing it by himself. And so he doesn't even head to the sink to use the sink. He goes straight to the shower, hoses him off, cleans his bed up, puts new sheets on the bed, has everything planned out for nobody to wake up in the morning and know what has happened, except for the fact that Eric's co-counselor wakes up every morning before everybody else, and the first thing he does is he goes to the sink and he splashes cold water in his face to wake up. So he goes to the sink, turns it on, throws cold water in his face, and gets much more than just cold water, because the night before, Teddy had gone by himself, sat in the sink, tried to clean himself up in the sink. I know that's terrible. But what I want you to get this morning is that God did not design you to walk through life yourself and to clean your junk up by yourself. God created people around you that he wants to use for you to be clean before God, before your relationship with him, before your relationship with other people. And I want to look at a text real quick this morning that talks all about that. It's in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19. Paul says this. He says, so you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also, students, you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Look at verse 19. It says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. We're talking about a word today that we use a lot at Watermark, and I want junior high students at Watermark to get it, and it's this. David talks about it a lot. It's community. And community starts with being friends. It starts with you looking at each other and saying, we are no longer strangers and aliens. We are fellow citizens. It means a sixth grader looks at an eighth grader that's not like them, that doesn't go to the same school, that's not in the same small group, that is completely different. And a sixth grader can say to an eighth grader in this student ministry, because of what Jesus has done, because he lives in me and because Jesus lives in you, we are friends. We're not strangers. We're not aliens. We are fellow citizens. That's what Paul says. We are friends. Now, some of you are tracking with me. You're like, I'll take as many friends as I can get because I've got this thing at home called Facebook. And on my Facebook profile, there's a number. And I'll just speak for myself, okay? I have a number on my Facebook profile that I like to see increased. You know what it is? What is it? It's the number of friends. It's the number of friends that I have on Facebook. I love adding friends. I will add people that I have no idea who they are just so I can up the number of friends. Is that sad? Is that kind of weird? Okay, well, when you go home today, you can add me. My profile name is Shelton Family. My wife and I share one, and you can see pictures of our kids on there and everything. So add me as your friend. Facebook doesn't have anything on Jesus when it comes to friends. They say that it's a place for friends, it's a community, a place for you to hang out. What I want you to get this morning is that with Jesus living in us, the Jesus in me wants to love the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me wants to love the Jesus in you. I just started co-leading a group with Gavin McClintock. Where's Gavin? I think there he is. And we've got seventh grade guys, and they're all kind of spread out. Yeah? Yes, Branson Ball. He's ADHD squared, aren't you, Branson? Okay, sorry, that's me. I'm ADHD squared. And we've had a blast getting to know each other. Now, I am 28. I've got two kids, a cool wife. I am nothing like my seventh grade guys. Nothing like them. I've got hairy arms. I've got hairy legs. I'm just gross, right? I'm strange. But the only thing that brings us together is Jesus. And the reason, students, that you have leaders that care about you, that want to do life with you, is not because they want to be cool. It's not because they want you to look at them and think that they're really awesome. It's because of Jesus. They want to have a relationship with you so they can share more of Jesus with you. Jesus starts real friendships. So community starts with being friends. The next thing that I want you to get is that community moves to being family. If you look at the verse, it says we are members of God's household. You see that? We are members of God's household. We have a foundation, it's Jesus. And you see that word household is singular, it's not plural. It means that all Christians live in the same house, which is amazing. We have this huge house, and the Bible says that it's being built. It's being fitted together. And what I want you to get this morning is because we are members of one house, and if we are being built, then guess what? We are bricks. That's what we are. We're a bunch of bricks, and we are being built. The foundation is Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone, and we are a bunch of bricks, and we are being built up, look what it says, into a holy temple in the Lord. We are one house. We are family. Now, last week, Bodie and I did something crazy, okay, and this is going to illustrate this really well. We heard that there was a Chick-fil-A opening in Houston. It's actually south of Houston in Baytown. And we heard that if you're the first 100 people there, then you get free Chick-fil-A for a year. Okay? So I decide, we find out that they're going to give this away Thursday morning at 6 a.m. So I'm like, Bodie, we need to leave at on Tuesday night and camp out. And Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., they're going to start checking people in. You get a bracelet. I'm still wearing mine because I'm weird and I get attached to things. And we're going to be one of the first 100, but I think if we leave Tuesday night at like 11 o'clock at night and we pull in to Chick-fil-A at 3 a.m. in my SUV, okay, nobody's there. We're the only people there, and I feel like an idiot. Like, man, we Shouldn't have left so early. So we put the seats down in my SUV. Bodie and I cuddle up right next to each other. I wish you could see this picture of us in my car, and we just sleep. And my alarm goes off at 6 a.m., and they're checking somebody in. One person has showed up. There's a tent set up in the parking lot. We brought, David Peniel hooked us up with a tent. We didn't know it, but it's a two-person tent, and it is small. Okay, so we grab all our gear, and when you step onto the property of Chick-fil-A, you can't leave. Like, once you check in and get the bracelet, like, you can go inside to go to the bathroom, but after, like, you can't, once you step on, you can't go anywhere. So we set up our tent, and we win free Chick-fil-A for a year. Amazing experience. And in 24 hours, out of the 100 people that showed up, the tent right next to us was a bunch of Christians, just like us. And because we are family, because we are all members of God's household, it was like we had known each other for years. They knew people that went to Watermark. They lived in Baytown, 4 hours from here. And it was such a great picture of how quickly we clicked and how easily we talked together. And we're friends with each other now on Facebook. But it's just so fun how quickly we became friends. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, because Jesus lives in all of us. That's how quickly we can become family. Now, I'm going to share one more thing with you, and it's this. Community moves from being friends to family to being fitted together. Okay, look at this. We're growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you, students, you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. The whole building being fitted together. Now, the picture is this. The picture is that one brick is laid on another brick. Okay, and you have the cornerstone, which is Jesus, and then you have all of us being bricks. And the problem is that a lot of us, instead of looking like this, we don't look smooth and we don't fit together perfectly. Okay, I'm going to try this, and hopefully bricks don't fly in people's faces, okay? A lot of times we look like this. I'm really glad that didn't like shoot out and hit somebody in the face. A lot of times our lives look like this, and we have to be fitted together like this. Now, does this look like a fun process to try and fit this together with this? No, it doesn't, right? This looks painful, unpleasant, hard, tough. And let me just be really honest with you this morning. Community is not easy. Community is hard. Community means asking each other hard questions about your relationship with Christ. Because reality is when we become Christians, we are much more like this. We are cracked. We are not perfectly formed. And the goal is to go from being a brick like this that has jagged edges to being a brick like this. And that's what community is all about. It starts with saying, hey, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're friends. We're family. And we need to start being fitted together. How often do you ask each other, let's just say your small groups, with the people in your small group and your leaders, how often do you ask each other hard questions? One of the greatest things that David does for you as your junior high director is every week, if you go to our website, he posts accountability questions that your leaders get to print off and bring to small group, and you guys get to challenge each other to be fitted together. And it is hard. It is a hard deal to really do community and to really start to look like Jesus. It's not pleasant. And I want to encourage all of us that are here this morning, where are you at in this? Are you being fitted together with people? And if you're not, let me just challenge you with Proverbs 27, verse 6. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." If a friend of yours that loves Jesus says something to you to challenge you spiritually, what a great way to be hurt. If somebody asks you, how are you doing? Guys, if one of your buddies says, how are you doing with your thought life and the way you think about girls and the way you handle your life in your room, on your computer, what you see on TV, all that stuff, if another guy challenges you with that and it is convicting and you're like, man, I have messed up. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And girls, if you are struggling with body image and you are every day, you are consumed with the way you look and you wish you looked one way and you're sad you look this way, and a girl comes up to you in your small group or your leader says to you, your relationship with Christ is everything you need and your life is not about how you look, and although that's convicting and it hurts, be encouraged that faithful are the wounds of a friend, a sister in Christ, a brother in Christ. God wants to use each of you to bring other people into a better relationship with Christ. And it starts with you owning the fact that God calls all of you to be friends with each other, regardless of your likes, regardless of your dislikes, your personality, where you go to school. If Jesus lives in you, then you're friends with somebody else that says they love Jesus. The worst thing that can happen in a student ministry, let me just say this, the worst thing that can happen in a student ministry is for somebody here to forget that the Jesus living in you wants to love somebody else. And for you to say, no, I don't really like that person. They said this to me or they did that. That can tear a ministry, a group of people, a small group apart. And some of y'all right now totally get that. Because maybe there's been division or hurt. But community always starts with being friends, and it always moves to saying we are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And then it will always end with us being fitted together. We are God's house. This building, sometimes people will say that this building is God's house. This is not God's house. We are God's house. And when we are out and we are moving in life and you're at a sleepover or you're at school, you can be God's house right where you are. Right where you are. You can do church, you can do community at a sleepover. You can do community, you can do church at a football game on a Friday night. And that should totally change your view of community and when you guys are hanging out with each other. Be encouraged to really ask each other hard questions about your relationship with Christ. And when God looks at your small group or this student ministry, know that He has a passion to see a group of people that are being fitted together, regardless of what we like, regardless of where we've been, and a group of people that say, we love Jesus and we want to encourage each other to be more like Christ. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for this opportunity to share with these junior high students. I pray that they would take your words, God, your truth, and that they would put them into practice, even this week during spring break, God, where they have a lot of free time. I pray that that they would take your word and study it and eat it up and do this with their friends. Lord, we pray for all these small groups and all these leaders, God. Thanks for bringing them here, and thanks for them having servants' hearts that want to just be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Yo, yo, yo. Thank you, Mike. Yep. Hey.